Why don't you
someone's knocking on the door?
It's the cops.
It's not my authority to do that.
It's not my house.
I don't want to get shot, okay?
You're not going to get shot.
You might get stabbed.
It's the cop. I said it was the cops. He's obviously going to get shot.
It's Rachel.
Why would she knock?
Whoa.
Look at his.
She did knock.
Nice. Rachel.
Okay, welcome to the Futile Podcast. You can email us at futilepodcast@gmail.com. Are we going to talk about Indiana Jones?
We go straight into hot dog and some review.
It's a happening
stand it to me.
What is that?
What is this?
You want to borrow it? It's going to end up in a box.
See, everything uses these. The shit now.
Weird.
Honeycomb murder.
This was around for a while, yeah.
Well, I know.
Do you want to borrow it?
It was unoriginal. I watched a few episodes.
Are you going to bed with? What's going on?
Just myself.
I'm backed up on Battlestar, though, so...
What about Battlestar?
Are
you starting season 2?
I've gotten through 2 discs.
There we go.
So. It's on the couch
now. Wait, did you watch more after I left?
Yeah, I watched 2... I watched...
Was that at your house?
I watched the whole disc.
Yesterday? Buddy Dominic West is Jigsaw.
It's Adobe or
something. It's really good until,
Jigsaw?
I mean...
No, Jigsaw, the bad guy from the Punisher.
Yeah, he threw him through a big glass window.
Remember Dominic Wilkins?
Your buddy.
Jimmy fucking McNulty.
I've been drifting along in the same stale shoes. Loose ends, tying a noose in the back.
In 1899, Henry Jones Jr. was born.
What the fuck? What kind of a...
I love that that's how it starts.
Because listen.
What is the word?
Ridiculous?
No, like when you go from one thing to another.
Non sequitur?
It's
segue?
Segue.
Yeah, that's a bad segue. Yeah.
I was trying, because I remembered the weird little...
Here's the thing. All
right, what?
Before he was going to watch Indiana Jones 4, he decided he had to watch all the movies.
This actually occurred to me, like, in the middle of doing that. Like, I was like, I always wanted to watch all of the young ones, because I knew I didn't see all of them, but I knew I liked a couple
like
of them.
The show, he watched the whole series.
And so I was like, I want to watch the series. I was watching through it, I was like, well, I'll watch the movies too, and the new movie's about to be out, I'll just do it all before I get to the movie. And so I did that. Yeah.
So we haven't talked about Indiana Jones 4 as a review yet, because you had not yet.
Well, we'd only met once since it came out. It wasn't like it's been that hard. It's not like you've been biting your
knuckles. Like 2 or 3 times?
No,
we have met a few times since then.
Well, not doing podcasts, but...
Right.
You know, yeah.
You had the opportunity, and I think I threw it out there a few times, and you're like, I haven't seen it yet. And then people would, like, start to say something bad about it, and I'd stop them.
Yeah,
I wanted you to see
mostly
it.
Mostly me
on
or
your own.
Micah, I would assume.
Yeah.
Well, Micah was like, Ian, don't even bother wasting your money. And basically, I turned right around, and I said, you know, fuck off.
Well, it's Micah. You're going to tell him fuck off.
Well,
you still want to see it.
I just don't...
Yeah, but it's in the... You got to see the...
That whole thing is, if I've decided I want to do something or I want to see something, then I'm just going to do it.
You got to line George Lucas's pockets.
Well, it's like... I don't care about...
George Lucas.
I don't care about other people's opinions.
Dude,
Steven Spielberg.
Hey, have you seen gas prices? He's got a fucking drive around in his gigantic tank or whatever.
He's got a helicarrier.
He's a speeder.
He's got a land speeder.
He's got a land.
You think
speeder.
He has an X-wing?
He's got a T-16 X-wing.
I bet underneath his property he has the Death Star. Yeah, you just don't know about it. And one day it's just gonna fucking pop up.
Earth is the Death Star.
It is.
He's God.
What if he was? Yeah. What if George Lucas was God? I saw that Clone Wars trailer, and he might be even...
I wonder if he invites Ewan McDermott over for dinner a lot,
mm-hmm.
just to, like, tell him, like, and then he cranks calls people
uh-huh.
and asks Ewan McDermott.
Good.
Yeah.
Is your refrigerator running? I can feel your anger.
Then they laugh around a little bit, and he's like, all right, see you later. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, what about dinner? He's like, sorry, I ate.
So
I gotta go work on the desk, though.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you later.
So his father was a professor of medieval literature or history.
You're talking about Sean Connery?
Yeah. Okay. At Princeton University in New Jersey, and that's
my
where
gosh,
he grew up.
All the stats and everything.
And
you know everything about Indiana
at the age of 10, in 1909, his father went on a book tour around the world, and that's when he first experienced all kinds of worldly adventures as a 10-year-old. He met Lawrence of Arabia before he was Lawrence of Arabia in Egypt. And that's where his interests for archaeology were peaked. He got typhoid and nearly died in China.
Typhoid.
And that's where
it's
he was
killer.
He was afraid that he was going to die like his younger sister. who had died a long time ago.
His younger sister.
He has a sister named Susie, but she died when she was
Susie Anna Jones, right?
Not Susie Anna Jones. Should have been Pollyanna Jones.
Should have been. So, yeah, so all the little young adventures happen, and then he ends up, he's 17.
Do you still have a mother at this point?
His mother dies of the influenza.
Of the
influenza. Not just regular.
The influenza pandemic of, like, 1912.
Is the dog named Indiana in the series?
Of course. The dog isn't even in the series. The dog is in... At some point, his dad must go on a sabbatical to Utah.
Right.
Because that's where...
It has to be
Utah. When he's 13. Right. No, it is Utah. Because it says Utah 1912 at the beginning of Last Crusade.
Right.
When he's
and that's the thing, and it's the guy, and then on the train.
The Cross of Coronado, which belongs in a museum.
Yeah, so everything belongs in a fucking museum.
Well, it does, if it's a rare antiquity.
How do they explain it? How do they explain why he wants everything in the museum? Oh my gosh.
Because he realized, well, I mean, a lot of it has to do with just the difference between you being a grave robber for your own fortune and glory, or whether or not you're...
He'll just slip out so far. You're going to tear your lip off.
Yeah, he's looking like a Maori.
I think he really does like chew.
He's a fucking addicted. Look at him. He's the only Asian that's addicted to chew.
I think you're the only Asian who's ever taken chew, ever.
Taking it orally.
Take
so much chew.
And what else?
I forgot you were explaining.
Here, let's do something.
I know somebody hates snakes. Who is it?
I mean, assuming it's Henry Jones Jr.
Henry Jones Jr.
Hell yeah,
why does he hate snakes so much?
Well, they explain that in Last Crusade.
I know, but I mean, because
he falls into the
pit. It was because he was abused by his uncle.
Yeah,
right?
Was he molested?
No, his uncle lived in
New Mexico.
His uncle lived in New Mexico.
You can't put that.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's divulging.
It is divulging secrets.
That's like serious people. That's not.
I know it's serious people.
God,
those are real people.
Sorry, you're gonna have to edit that up.
I didn't even hear what you said, but
that like somebody listens to this.
No, there are people who listen, actually.
Yeah. There's a guy named Tom in England.
There's one guy.
I personally would estimate there's about 20 people listening to it.
We don't know yet, though, but I'd imagine. I've tried to network it around.
To get some figures. Put a...
Next time you come, anytime you come to do it, you should put a chart on the wall.
You need to have like someone, Blaine can take the minutes.
I'm going to invent some figures next time, yeah.
You should, even if it's bullshit. Just show like 100,000 that listened last week, and this week is only 80,000.
It's like, what's
so you got
to
raise?
If that was the case, then I think we would both be making ad revenue.
Well we have to
get a good website, a real website.
I know. I got to get a better server. Now.
Okay.
Anyway,
so here's what we should do. Since all this stuff
is completely irrelevant to anyone.
Since all this stuff involves a real character with like depth and development and an arc and all this stuff. Let's just talk about Indiana Jones 4 to begin with, and then we'll go back to why those other things were actually good.
Okay, let's talk about
so
four.
Much better.
So, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull starts same credit sequence as Raiders and as Last Crusade. Temple of Doom had a different credit sequence. It was like a comic book kind of thing.
Right.
They've all started with sort of a different thing. They've all had the Paramount graphic match, and this one did it too. I thought it was kind of clever. I thought it was funny that it was a little like, you know...
Right.
Gopher.
Yeah, the cute little CGI fucking warthog.
Yeah, whatever the hell.
That was so necessary.
Yeah, that was cool.
So necessary.
Well, the kids were like, I thought it was different. It was a different thing.
There were instead of the little gopher thing, he should have had Jake Lloyd pop out of the
That would have been
Jar Jar so Binks. Much better, dude.
Jake
been
Lloyd
so
Jar Jar Binks could come out
because that's an Indiana Jones thing.
Right.
Well, you know, Jake Lloyd, he sucks.
Once again, blaming Lucas. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
keep explaining.
Anyway, I just thought that it was... I'm like, what are they going to do for the graphic match? Is it going to be a mountain? Is it going to be what? And it's just a little hill of stuff. 19 years, and that's what they came up with, was a hill.
The hill.
Of dirt.
They made a mountain out of a molehill.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah, exactly.
No wonder you write things for free.
Right? Exactly.
For
exactly.
Pro bono.
And then it immediately goes straight into... Hey, it's 1957 because we got Elvis going, and it's all out of nowhere. And like, what's going on here?
Everything's cliche. Yeah, that part of the movie.
Wait, hang on. Let's hear him give his take. All
right.
And then
Okay.
Because we all have the same.
You all hate it, and I didn't hate it that much. I mean, maybe
is that why we all agree? Because we have
sickly
mustache.
Yeah, I think so. I think your rage is being stuck in your
rage
head.
About this terrible.
All right, let's hear him. I have been.
You give your little plot synopsis.
Okay,
and then after that, you explain why you love this movie.
I didn't love it. I just didn't hate it.
Okay.
Like
okay,
everyone else seems to want
to. Seriously.
Okay, so then it's Area 51.
Yeah, that's cool. Right?
That's that, but they're really pretty like they're subtle about it at least. You know, it's like you have to like see the sign and it doesn't say Area 51. It says like Air Force Base 51 or something like that. And that's where the warehouse where the Ark of the Covenant is. So that's a little throwaway for you. That's fine.
What did you think about the whole magnetic thing?
With the throwing the gunpowder in the air? Yeah. That was kind of dumb, but it was like, whatever, I don't care.
That was too, like, it was too little of a thing to even really care about.
What do you think about the part where he swung on the thing, and then he didn't quite make it, and then he landed in that car?
And then he
said, I'm getting too old for this shit, and then Danny Glover popped up.
I thought that was closer. Yeah, that was in the first trailer, and as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, that looks pretty bad. That's stupid. It's dumb, but
it's like Indiana Jones. That was one of the offensive parts.
Well, fine, but
he's getting pissed off.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm trying to deal with all kinds of things going on here. Okay, why don't I just say what I didn't like about it?
Okay,
because everyone's seen it, and here
we have a lot of animosity built up.
Were you going to?
No.
Okay, good.
Well, fine then.
No, you should. Right.
I should.
It's been 19 years, and you're not going to make people that would. We were 10 when these movies came out, and we loved them because they were fun adventure movies for a 10-year-old. And you know what? We're not 10 anymore, so we go see this, and whatever's fun and adventurous about it, we're probably going to have a cynical edge on. That's just the way the society is. There's no way that the internet was going to like this movie. It's pretty much impossible. And it's just, that's the way things go. It's 1957. It's the nuclear age, which they make abundantly clear when they have him survive a nuclear explosion. By the way, that's what I first thought when he walked in there. I'm like, you're going to have to go in the fridge. That's not the only option you've got is the fridge. And he did.
It's nice to know you're on the same.
Henry Jones Jr. and I are very similar characters. I think our approach to a tenacity to
you'd be like, you life. Know what? Let's see, a nuclear bomb. Where would he go?
You have to go in the fridge.
And you'd go into the fridge.
Lead lined fridge. Yeah.
You'd have to have a close up.
No, I didn't do the story. I didn't go on IMDb or Wikipedia to see if that's like a complete bullshit thing they invented for the movie.
I wonder if that is real.
Or if it's real. In the 50s, it wouldn't
be right. Everything in the town was incinerated but his lead lined fridge. It may protect from radiation, but not.
It was the old. In that little town that they had built, that was the only fridge that was lead-lined. That was another like little test they were doing.
Yeah, and it got blown away, so it wasn't actually true. Left there.
I want to hear what you liked about it.
Lead.
Before we go on to other stuff, because I think we'll probably be able to agree on a lot of things we didn't like. But what exactly did you like about the movie?
I liked that it had him as the professor. Because the whole interesting part about the character is the duality of this, like, sort of, like, surly, grave-robbing adventurer, kind of a womanizer, and that he's also, like,
is a
professor.
He really a womanizer?
Well, he was in the first one.
He is in all of them. I mean, basically,
He's not
pseudo-archetype for James Bond, because that was the whole history is that Spielberg and Lucas were sitting on Hawaii, chilling out, and Spielberg was like, I think I'd like to do a James Bond movie. Lucas was like, here. Originally, they were going to make him much darker. They were thinking about making him like an alcoholic and giving him all these like issues and everything. Right. And they kind of pared a lot of that down. But
Obviously,
the whole idea is that he's got a different woman in each movie of the three.
Well, and just
he's
think
got
about, just
Raven
think about when it
first.
Starts in Raising the Lost Ark, like the first thing his interaction is with this woman, and she slaps him and gets pissed at him because their whole relationship was he got with her and then he took off.
Well, no, the whole it's more complicated than that. It's that he was at University of Chicago, where you know him and Ox were learning.
That character's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Then Abner Ravenwood was his mentor. He's the one that kind of got him going on all that.
Is he in the series?
No, he's not. They really don't get much into. He just starts doing the Chicago stuff. Like, he's had his first semester by the time the series ends. And the whole thing there was that she was his daughter, Abner's daughter. Right. So she was probably pretty obvious. Like, she was probably like 17 years old, and
she was
batty-eyed.
She was like 20 years old.
Yeah, she's not 20, but
15.
Probably not 17? Even. Maybe like 8 or something. She was probably 17, and he was probably like 22. Something stupid. Like, she said, I was a child. and he's like, you know, it's kind of, you knew what it was, and that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it was. He went off to go do other stuff.
But the gist is that you get that he's, that he doesn't stick around with women.
Well, yeah, he doesn't. He's,
well, I never really got that impression. Like, they don't play that up, like, really. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
But that's honestly all.
Like,
I,
you know,
from that
he's, you know, he's a charming fellow, and well, he can get with some ladies. But you don't think, like, oh, you know, he's fucking all these chicks.
No, no,
no,
he's
it's
not.
It's
not
like
that.
It's that he has, like, intimacy problems, kind of. Like, that's.
Well, and that all comes into the third one when they talk about, like, his dad.
Well,
and
but also
growing
it's brought
up
later in the first one
dead.
When she's getting close to him when he falls asleep. Like,
well, that's
because
he
like,
just had the shit beat.
I understand, but I mean,
that's
you know,
not
weird.
I mean,
doesn't
that,
it hurt? It doesn't hurt here,
right?
And that's about it.
Yeah, and then he starts to fall asleep because it shows what comes first in his life. That sort of
which
thing.
Is sleep.
Like,
is that
after like being dragged around by a truck?
Well,
yeah.
He gets himself into the situation.
It's not.
So.
It's not. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not the age. It's the mileage.
I don't think that. I don't know. That never really seemed like a big thing to me.
Well, guess what? You're wrong.
I guess
okay. Like that. The point is in the fourth one. They do
whatever the
like what Temple of Doom lacks is it lacks that whole aspect. He mentions
Temple of Doom's totally different than the other two.
It's very different. It's much darker and everything else. But it lacks any there's no Marcus Brody.
Right.
There's no him wearing glasses in a suit.
It's like there's no authority aspect to it.
It's not about
the authority. Really get him as a character as much in that one.
In the
you know what I mean? Like,
it's
you
also
don't really
the,
like him as
chronologically.
Much.
It's also the first because it takes place in 35.
I think in The Last Crusade, like he's like the best.
Oh, it is
because they went back to the first.
Here's the thing that I think about Temple of Doom is that the other ones, well, the first and the third one, develop some sort of character thing. But if you watch the second one, aside from those, say after you've watched both of them, it's just like a fun adventure thing with the character who's already been established, and
well,
they don't have to worry
but,
about doing something like that. But he does make some
yeah.
You know,
well, he goes through the fortune and glory thing because at the beginning, it's set before Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah,
because he's still sort of more gallivanting. He's going for fortune and glory. I mean, basically what he's done is he has committed a grave robbery in the first one. He's gotten Nurhashi, the first emperor of Manchu Dynasty or whatever, and the Lazy Susan. And he's going to give it to the one guy for a diamond. I mean, what archaeological value does a diamond have? It's just a really expensive piece of, you know, it's beautiful or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's exchanging an antiquity with a mobster for a diamond. Fortune and glory,
money,
yeah, for money, yeah. And by the end, you know, he knows the concept.
He
doesn't keep. Well, no, he was. He mentions that he had to get back to the States where because he's a professor at a university. And the whole thing about the stones is that they have a certain value. They've got diamonds in them. That's why they glow and all this crap. And they would be a valuable like thing to have. Mm. But you know, he just returns the one stone, and you know, he goes through. So he does go through a bit of a realization about
fortune and glory. It's an actual change in it,
yeah.
Like where the thing where he ends up. Because I think at first when they kind of harangue him about help finding their kids and stuff, he's not super interested until they mention the stones and stuff. Then he gets interested. Because
yeah,
of his
he gets
own
more
personal,
interested. Yeah,
personal, and then it, you know,
and he mentions fortune and glory a bunch while they're on the trip too.
And I think that's actually like. A more standard kind of comfortable Hollywood character arc for a main character
yeah.
Because in the first one, it's nothing established like he wants to do something selfishly at first. At first, like he gets contracted to do something,
but it's still about finding the antiquity.
But it's about finding the antiquity so he can do what he wants with it, which
yeah.
is put it in a museum or
mm-hmm.
something like that. But it's not the same thing as like. Some sort of like lust for something,
where
it'll get him personal gain.
It's very,
it's kind of altruistic.
It's very political too. It's very patriotic because it's like
right.
U.S. versus Nazis. If
yeah.
Nazis find this, which is not the case in the third one, it's like still the Nazis looking for something,
yeah.
but there's no U.S.
Well,
involvement.
The third one has, and this is like if you read the back stuff about how it was made and everything. The thing about that was that before they had put the father character in there, it was just going to be about the Holy Grail. And Spielberg said to Lucas, "That's stupid.
Yeah,
that's just kind of a weak." Thing that's going to drive the plot
yeah.
about some eternal life crap or something like that. So when they put the father in there, the whole story becomes about this guy trying to find his dad. And,
yeah.
And not only physically find him, but emotionally.
Oh, yeah. That's made abundantly clear at the end when he's got his fingers around it and then his dad calls him by the name
yeah.
that he's chosen for
and he
himself.
He gives up his mercenary nature to go back to family and what's actually important because he wants the thing for a split second at the end there.
Well, he can almost get it. And the thing about it really in that scene. Is that it's so obvious that he's never really cared about the Grail. He knows it was an obsession of his father's.
Right.
That like he's like, no, I didn't understand it,
right.
Mom didn't understand it. He's like, you know, no, yes you did, but you know, whatever.
Right.
But he can almost get it, and it's so obvious that
he's trying to do it.
He's trying to do it for his dad.
For his dad.
And
he
it's like, I can almost get it, Dad, I can almost get it for
but,
you.
But he's kind of inherited that
yeah.
that desire
well,
for
he,
it by
he
himself.
Has. And then his dad just says, let it go. And then, yeah. So okay. That's why it's a great movie, because it's not about the object even really at all. Like,
right.
Like it's almost completely about these two characters trying to...
Talking about all these things that have actually, like good character worked, value in the first three.
And now we're getting to the fourth one.
How exactly did you feel that carried over in the fourth one?
Because
I personally felt like that character was the most flat, empty,
robot. It was non-existent.
Robot of a character who was just there.
Jones, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Completely empty. And I thought worthless. Because in the first three, whatever sort of flaws were put in there by the authors and stuff... Harrison Ford is able to completely pull it off because he comes across as somebody who is like kind of confused at times, mm-hmm. like his facial expressions and stuff, and he seems like he doesn't really know what's going on at all times.
It's an inconvenience to him. It's a tiring, exhausting. Yeah,
he's just able to convey so much with expressions. In the fourth one, it just seems like he's just this plastic robot. He wanted some money.
Well, no, I don't know. I disagree on that with that. I think that there's the thing is it's like 19 years. It's set 19 years later, and it actually is 19 years later. Right. So they didn't fuck around with any sense of him. They didn't try to make it like he's only 10 years younger when he's almost 20 years older and stuff. And so he's gone through a lot, and things are completely different for him. And so he can't be the same kind of confused. He's now...
I don't think he, like, portrayed that.
He's a different... Really. No,
it was just like...
All that they could do...
It didn't seem like he wanted to be there.
The whole time. Well, yeah, and that's an old guy thing, though. That's like he's kind of tired of it. I understand
how that plays into it.
And everything. And it works against the youth of the kid, you know? That he's kind of sort of schooling in some respect, you know. He's like, I got bit by a scorpion. Was it big? Huge? Great. Big ones is not a big deal, you know. It's like
that was like a terrible thing too. Is like it didn't even seem like the interaction between those two characters, like Shia LaBeouf and Harrison Ford. It was just like it was so like fake. It didn't even feel like. You know,
here's
like,
where
it's like,
there were two people that didn't know each other in the story.
It just felt like they were so
they
like.
Couldn't have created
here's
much
what
of
absolutely
a,
lost me, though. And this is where, and I'm sorry I'm cutting into where you what you're going to talk about, what you liked and stuff. But first of all, it was lame when he started swinging on the vines and crap.
Well, obviously.
But right at that time is also where, directly before that, he finds out that this kid is his son, mm-hmm. right? This gigantic discovery for him that should be this world changing thing. But then, immediately following that, is this, like, sword fight in the car, and people shooting each other, and luckily some big leaves blocking the bullets, and things like that.
Well,
like,
I mean, it's Indiana Jones. I mean, don't be incredulous about that, because that stuff happens in all of those adventure movies.
But here's the thing. Then his son gets blasted or knocked off the car in some way, and lands in some vines, gets struck from some vines, right? His son, he just found out this is his son, and he's like this. Like, he doesn't care.
See,
he doesn't give a crap. Okay. And, like he innately knows that his son is going to be magically able to swing some vines.
Well,
I think just, like, the interaction between the two characters was so boring.
It is.
It was kind of
dumb. That was basically the problem with the whole movie. Like, there was no interaction between any character that seemed interesting.
And
it wasn't just him and
him. Where the third one did the thing between him and his father fantastically well.
Well, yeah, of course.
There was almost no concern whatsoever on Shia LaBeouf's part that this guy is his father. Almost none whatsoever. He explains a few points. He's like, oh, gross, he's my dad or whatever. Like,
That'll happen kind of late into
the
story.
And then the only thing they have
that
there
was
is
with
where,
every character, though.
Is
like,
where
it wasn't
he,
just those two.
The little joke they put in where he tells him early on before he finds out it's his son that, like, you know, hey, if you find something you want to do, you just do it and you don't worry about it. Then he finds out he's his son. He's like, you're going to school.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing they had that connected the two of them was that his insistence that sort of thing happened. And the rest of the time it was this. It was an action sequence that went to another one. They fell out of a car into a river, and they got up, and they kept going. They fell into something.
They fell into the driving boat.
Yeah, and then they walked up some stairs, and the stairs started falling. They went up the thing, and then they went to this thing, and it was just like...
Yeah, it was a series of action sequences.
You know what it reminded me of, honestly? It was like 10,000 BC. Because instead of any sort of development, the characters just keep walking.
It's just a chase movie.
It's a chase
moving,
thing. Like, and Raiders of the Lost Ark is like that a little bit. But the parts that some people say slow down a little bit, like when they're doing the dig and stuff, mm-hmm. are actually great parts for character development. And
a little
great
bit,
parts
yeah.
for tension. And,
it's like a good break for...
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's more tension.
It's
there's no real character
it's
development
well,
there. Yeah.
And it's all stuff like that. And it's like...
Like, it keeps you, like, into the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah.
like, the new one,
and the
like,
breaks
it
the,
totally takes... Like, the whole movie, you're just not interested
right.
in.
And the breaks
really.
In the third one are where he's talking to his dad. And he's asking him... Why were you such a dick when I was growing up? And his dad says I wasn't. And then you start to learn things about their character by the ways they're bouncing off of each other with their dialogue. There's nothing like that in this one.
Yeah,
this guy that he finds out is his son.
I would agree with you a lot about that. I mean, my whole take about it is really like, I like the character of that one character, and so I could kind of give a shit if his interactions with somebody. I mean, like.
But I think like are not interesting.
I think that it's interesting to see where that character's gone for me, because I've like, you know, like I said, I watched the stuff when he was 10, and I watched the stuff when he was 17 fighting in World War I, and you know, then there was a lot of telling and not showing in this because they had to cover a lot of ground that they couldn't, you know. Oh, you were an OSS, you were a colonel. Right. He essentially did secret, you know, intelligence work during World
and
War
I. The parts that are supposed to be emotionally valuable and things that divulge a lot are the parts where he looks at the pictures of Marcus and his dad, and when he says something like, oh, they're gone, and stares at their pictures for a second, that's supposed to make up for the fact that that's the only link between this character and the ones from the other movies. That's the only link. I mean, he's Indiana Jones because he's Harrison Ford, but it did not seem like the same character.
It's very possible that, you know, that whole gap of 19 years is just almost impossible to connect them, because he is that much older.
Right.
And so, like, that character would have to be that much different. More different. He's essentially, I mean, and society has changed all that much. Like
it's
you said,
kind of
all
a cop out.
Really. Yeah, like I don't think they portrayed that at all. I think it was just really bad. They didn't make it seem like that. Like, oh, he's aged so much.
Yeah, it's just
now,
kind of an excuse for bad writing.
Yeah, exactly. Like it seems like that's an excuse
it was
for like how
it wasn't terribly well written.
Here's the thing. Well, David Koepp is an utter complete.
I'm not a
hack.
Big fan of his stuff.
So here's the thing that Spielberg like. You know, I defend Spielberg a lot.
Yeah,
we both took several classes from a teacher of ours who hates Spielberg for his schmaltiness, which is weird because he really likes
understand
sentiment
and
substance.
Words. What does that mean?
Like insistence on like
the tug of the heartstrings.
The tug of the heartstrings, exactly.
Okay.
That sort of thing. Like,
right.
Hey, if we show this sad little alien touch someone's finger, then we'll all feel sad and happy at the same time.
And
we'll
if the flower comes back to life and we see the kid excited, then we all know, yay, he's not going to die.
Spielberg is the absolute king of schmaltz.
And the music crescendos.
I've always defended him from this, but I think that he thinks in this movie that alone is going to make this, the only times it really comes to play are when he's talking about Marcus or he's talking about his dad.
Yeah.
Very briefly. And then the rest of it, it's like this insistence on showing the audience what he thinks they want to see.
Yeah.
There's a brief show of the Ark. There's a brief picture of his dad.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture on the wall of Marcus Brody.
Then there's another picture of Marcus Brody. Then there's a statue of Marcus Brody. They kind of hammer
his whole relationship with, what's her name?
Marion Ravenwood?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was terrible because she was absolutely fucking awful.
Yeah.
The last movie she acted in was probably...
We're the only
chicks in Animal House or something like that. I don't know which it was.
I'm sure Animal House.
You know what? Actually, she was in... my gosh, she was in some kids' movie. She played a mother.
Was it Baby Geniuses 2?
Super Baby.
No,
I mean, I guess my
that
ability.
Was Lady from Weird
I mean,
really?
As a movie, it had some adventure. Like I said, it had some of the stuff you would want to see. It didn't have a lot of other interesting characters to interact with. Like you said, the George McHale character was completely useless, and I didn't like that.
Right.
I thought that I was like, what? Huh? What? Okay, dumb. The Russians were the new Nazis. That made sense. They brought in some of the Red Scare stuff, which kind of worked.
They didn't really do that well
but,
either.
But then they whitewashed over that. Yeah,
like, but
yeah,
you know what the first one and the third one did, which was fantastic, was they get somebody who he knows professionally to be the main bad guy. You bring in the Nazis around them, but you got the guy from the third one who wants the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
You got Belloc from the first one.
Belloc.
And they're both guys who he's professionally acquainted with. And there's nobody like that in this one that's like a bad guy besides Mac, who's like on his side kind of, and that guy's completely flat and utterly worthless.
You know, as soon as you see that guy,
yeah,
that he's a fucking skeezy douchebag. Mm-hmm. So
it's
you're not going to trust him at
shit.
All. Yeah,
yeah, he's
so,
a werewolf. Sexy beast. And all
so
that.
The bad guy of Spalko, or whatever her name is, that Cate Blanchett plays, would be more interesting if they had some sort of like buffer between them, like a character that where she wasn't the main bad guy.
I agree. I think that was kind of annoying too.
She is completely and utterly flat and just like
it was weird to see her so badly because like everything I'm used to seeing her in, she's always like really good
and she looked the part and she I read that she created the bob cut, she created the whole look and the talk of the character and
she
like
sounded
that.
Like Natasha.
That's what she was doing with the Russian thing. But she,
Ukrainian, I guess. The way you're moving,
she was
you're
so much
different.
And that last scene where she seems really interested in getting the knowledge and stuff is very like, it's convincing, but they didn't do anything leading up to that to make it seem like she really cared about that much.
Well,
she
just they alluded to this whole thing about her and the psychological warfare and the weird...
Yeah, but you're right.
But very briefly.
It was lacking that. I mean,
I think that's what they did through the whole movie. Like, they show things, like, kind of, but they only do it halfway.
Yeah, the script really needed a second pass from somebody to really clean it up.
Here's the thing.
Because it was missing...
I know you and you especially both kind of rail against looking at reviews before you see something.
Well, I just don't... I don't.
I understand why you. I understand why you don't do it.
Have any bearing on? You know,
I understand why both of you do it. But here's the thing: if I see something is poorly reviewed before I watch it, then I go into it with a mindset that it's going to be bad. And anything good in it, like almost any movie I see that's poorly reviewed, I end up liking almost. So this one was very favorably reviewed for the most part.
Probably
for the kind of movie that it was.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you were saying something about the internet not being kind to this, but I have not read a single thing that was negative about this.
I don't know if it's you're talking about professional critics
blogs
versus
mostly.
Just yeah,
blogs are
the first people like podcasters.
The first experience I had that this movie was any sort of democratic
internet, not the elitist internet.
Me and three of my friends went to see it. None of us said a single word to each other during the film to indicate that none of us liked it, and then 20 feet out of the theater at the same time, we all exploded in utter rage.
Like, oh my god, that sucked.
At the same time, like,
terrible.
I was afraid to say anything like that to them in case they liked it.
Yeah, I said, I was,
so
like,
we
yeah,
were,
I,
think
I said something
like,
first.
Like,
I fell asleep for 10 minutes during the movie, but like, I watched the movie for the most part, and then when we left the theater, like, we didn't say anything the
I
whole
said
time.
It.
Usually we
I
joke around
right.
during movies
yeah,
when
yeah,
we go
yeah.
see movies.
If it's something's that bad, we'll joke
but like,
around.
But, like, we didn't,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
we left,
you
and, like, I wasn't
you
sure
you
what to say.
The whole time you were,
a,
like,
out of
19
house.
Years is a
yeah.
long time to
I
wait.
I wasn't sure what to say. I was,
it's
like,
hard
I
to
wonder
happy.
If anybody liked that.
Yeah.
And, like, I was sitting there, and then I don't even remember who it was. Like,
I said, I was like, dude, that's, I was like, didn't that suck?
And Micah said it, and I said
I was like, yeah, that was fucking awful. That was so bad.
The thing is, like, so in the beginning of the movie, we saw it on opening midnight. We saw the midnight show, right? So they show the opening thing, and people start cheering and clapping, yada, yada,
yeah,
yada.
You're excited.
The first time you see Indiana Jones'
yeah.
hat come out of the car, and he picks
yeah.
it up, people cheer and clap.
That's stupid.
Like,
oh,
shit.
That's
the
well, that's just because...
I know,
they
but
need,
that makes you, like... That would make me want to hate it even more.
That was the whole entire movie.
People need
that,
to forget about 9/11, though. Like, they need something to, like, help
and
them.
And they need Big Mac to hit the homers to forget about Monica Gay.
So, at the end of the film... Not a single person clapped. Not a single person
people
cheered.
Were clapping during.
So,
and
I look at faces
does.
Of the fat women who clapped when it started, and they were going like this. They were like,
"It was mad."
Aliens.
So,
I don't know.
The thing was, like,
trans-dimensional beings.
I understand. I'm thinking that a lot of critics and a lot of people who saw it are afraid to say anything bad about
it's possible,
this because
yeah.
it's. Their hero George Lucas. It's their hero Steven Spielberg. It's their
George
hero
Lucas
Harrison
is just
Ford.
Pissing me
yeah.
off, man.
And I'm thinking that
this George
it's
Lucas
it's
fellow.
Completely built up this goodwill that this movie in particular did not deserve. And,
no, that's true.
And I think
it's not a great movie. It's just not a.
It's weak.
It's
so
weak.
Weak.
Yeah, weak is the best way to describe
it.
I still
was thinking it could have saved itself.
Movie, yeah.
I was thinking it could have saved itself until the moment they get there and he puts the crystal skull in the alien body mm-hmm. and the thing they come to life. And things start spinning,
the fuck
and there's
calling
aliens.
You?
My parents.
Weird.
Don't answer it.
You should answer it. You should answer it and talk into the
microphone.
You should
have told them you have a mustache.
Hey, how's
hey,
Italy?
Okay, so they open it, and then it's like, oh, it's a spaceship. And
well,
then
it's not just that.
It's an X-Files episode,
and
this
and
is
then,
stupid.
And then, yeah,
and
literally, the
X-Files episodes are much more.
They are, they're better. And the graphics, the CGI of the alien...
Was
as bad as any alien I've ever seen.
Yeah,
any CGI
they did.
I've ever
they
seen
did so much
movie.
With the gopher in the beginning.
Seriously,
but the
dude?
Fucking the alien, they were like,
it looked so bad. It was.
Remember
I
when
was
he like?
Stunned.
He was like,
it physically hurt me. I was still at that
fuck
point.
You, Kate Blanchett.
I'm such a fan and such an like unadulterated like lover of this the first three movies
mm-hmm.
that. Before the last 10 minutes, I was still hoping and praying that it was going to redeem itself.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to actually dislike this movie. There's no way.
This much.
And then the alien, like, stares in Kate Blanchett's face and is like, and her head catches fire and she explodes.
Yeah, she didn't die in a very cool way. And that was
whatever.
Because
that
was
yeah,
violent. And
she, why
didn't
she even,
like,
die?
Develop her character?
Why
didn't
she
even
die?
Even, to make you even want to care that she did die.
Yeah,
I was watching it and I was like, oh, she's dead. That's whatever.
No,
exactly.
But, like, why did
you care about the guy whose face melted, but at least he was an awesome
well, no,
somebody
I mean,
die.
Belloc is one of those guys you love to hate.
Oh.
With her, you don't give a fuck.
Well, Belloc is really complicated, though. If you really watch that, with Belloc gives him the whole, like, you and I aren't so different
a couple times,
and that really hits home.
It does, because that's before people started saying that all the time.
Exactly.
In movies.
And now, if you say that,
I think they were afraid to say that in this. Like, make her more like him.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, in the first and third, like I was saying, those guys are like him, except for they wear white suits.
Yeah.
Which means you're a dick.
Really, if they had made the John Hurt character an antagonist to him,
isn't John Hurt in everything?
I see his name in everything. It would have been more powerful.
He was him and Karen Allen. Those were the two most wasted actors and characters in the entire film.
Yeah,
utterly flat. Karen Allen was so utterly. She was like, in real life, if that character had happily come across Indy and happily told him that, hey, this kid's your son, and happily been helping them kill people and happily driven their car into a tree that magically landed on the river, you'd think that she was completely, utterly high on some sort of terrible drug.
Yeah,
she's on some tranquilizers.
She was so happy and like, hey, we might all die at any second. This is awesome.
At least I got work again.
And the John Hurt character, like...
Was it John Hurt that was in History of Violence?
No, that was... Wait, which one are you talking about? That's William Hurt.
William Hurt. I couldn't remember which one it was.
William Hurt's a good actor.
William Hurt is John Hurt's brother?
No. He's Viggo Mortensen's brother.
It's Gus Hurt.
Gus Hurt.
No. It's Nuts Hurt.
You've got mail.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man, look at that. You got some mail from AOL. I like how you just check random things while
my whole take on it was it was more about I really just wanted to see the character do some more adventuring.
Right.
There was no adventuring.
Well, yeah, it was.
They're like, oh, we're doing some shit, we're running away.
That's what the adventuring part is.
You know, some things people didn't like, I liked, like, the ant thing. I kind of liked that. I thought that was creepy.
I liked the fact that they actually had him get into at least one last good fight with the main bad guy.
That main guy was like one that they wanted to fill in for, because you realize that big bald guy who gets chopped up in Raiders of the Lost Ark in a fan. It's the same guy in the Temple of Doom whose black face painted looked like an Indian who gets crushed by the rock crusher. He's in the third one, too. He's some guy that he punches off a cliff or something. So, like, they wanted to create that same character, so they got some big, gigantic asshole of a guy.
Was it the rock? Did they get the rock?
It
might have been asleep during
that. He's too skinny now to be that character. South Bronx Paradise.
South Bronx Paradise, baby! I win.
Carl, this is South Bronx Parasite. Like,
bursts
his body in half.
And then it's all excited because it wins the contest.
Yeah, right.
I win.
All right, anyway.
That was a nice play-by-play of Aqua Teen Hunger Force
We missed the whole part about the flapjacks from the Tomb Raider, you know, because they had the big lips.
Yeah, the Brood Witch.
Not the flapjacks, they're the funnel cakes.
I'm trying a funnel cake right now, dude.
Can
I just have one or two funnel cake eating contests?
I watched that Zach Wilde the other day.
Oh yeah,
the funniest part of that whole episode to me is during the closing credits where they're playing the song you just hear without anyone talking, and there's this ridiculous banjo music. He's like, the electric guitar with the banjo music is like, with the scorpions playing banjo, you know,
the down home scorpions.
Those are my two favorite ones, I think. The birthday song one and the Brood Witch.
So I think my whole take on the fourth one is like what you said. If you know it's gotten a lot of negativity when you're going into it, then you're going to probably have your sights set so low.
Maybe we tainted you then because the only negativity was us.
If I had just gone and seen it on my own and everyone else was telling me it was great, I would have been the opposite. I would have been like, the Mikhail character was stupid. I really would have rather seen a movie. If they got their shit together, it would have been great to see just a spy movie.
If they had done
things
more than
that would have been awesome. I mean, basically, what I decided about feeling about this a long time ago was I really love that character. And if they have more of that character, just a few little bits, you know, just a little bit where he's the professor, just a little bit here and there, you know, then that'll be enough for me, because the rest is probably going to be shit. It's probably going to be an attempt. It's like, it's so far off that they can't get it right. It's never going to happen again. You know, lightning doesn't strike twice, so on and so forth. You know, the way that these movies would work best is if they had done like seven of them, to be perfectly honest, like one, like every 5 years.
Right.
and you know, then they could have had a couple that weren't as good. You know, like Temple of Doom is not as good as the other two, but it's a different kind of movie. It's more of an adventure. It's more fun. You know, it'd be like the odds and evens. Like, I honestly, like with Star Trek movies.
What do you think is the best one?
The best one is the third one.
Yeah,
the best one is, objectively speaking, is the third one. You can
in
look
the
at
last the, year. I, in the last year, I agree that's true.
Well, and
what
I just
do you mean
I,
in the last
well, because
year?
Before that, I always
did.
Like,
you always think Raiders?
No, I well, like in the last 5 years, I probably thought Raiders because that's like the one that all the film school.
It's the first the one and everything.
Before that, before I knew any better, I loved Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
I still
Temple
well,
of Doom,
as a kid,
I
Temple
of Doom.
I still,
is hell,
I still count Temple of Doom as my second favorite.
Is it? Is
no, I think it goes. The third one, and then...
In the terms of, like, stars or something, I would give Last Crusade 5 stars. I'd give Temple of Doom 4. I'd give Raiders, like, 3 and 5/8, something like that.
Raiders is so much
I love
better
Raiders.
Than Temple
no,
of Doom.
I don't know about that. I just think... I
it
think
is Temple, way better than Temple. It's,
I like
it's
Raiders.
Got so much more fucking...
I love Raiders. I think it's a fantastic
no,
movie.
No, you know, and so, like, I was... like I said, I watched all those other movies very recently. And so, like, watching Temple of Doom, you see things that, like, yeah, there's aspects of it that are flawed. And, I mean, you'd be watching and be like, well, a well-produced Sci-Fi Channel original movie would pretty much have the same thing.
It's much, it's so much different than Raiders
yeah.
and
so this is the difference.
Yeah.
This is the Indiana from the first three movies, right?
Yeah.
Indiana from the last movies is this Botox-looking old dude who's
you remember
smiling
Firewall?
And magically living.
You remember Firewall?
Awesome compared to
they should.
To
they should have called this. Yeah. They should have called this Firewall too. Even though it's nothing like that movie, they should have just called it that because it was a piece of shit.
But in Indiana Jones 4, he never once has the anger where he yells to his secretary to pack up her shit. You know,
that was the best part.
He still
of
had
movie,
more character in that movie.
Yeah.
They should have just
not
even
not
used
fault.
Harrison yeah. Ford. They should have used
What Lies Beneath was. Better.
Who would have been? Who would have been better?
As Harrison,
as Indiana
Jones.
Jones. Think of somebody that would have been better. I'm thinking
Oliver Platt.
I would have given Indiana Jones 4 an F if at the very end. I mean, I hated the wedding thing. That's all bullshit.
Oh,
the whole thing is fucking bullshit.
Like, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, yeah. When he picked
like,
it up,
not so fast, son. Yeah.
if the kid had put the hat on, I would have given that movie an F, and I would have walked out. Even though it was
but
ending.
Indiana smashed it, and you're like, that's a fucking A.
Oh,
no,
man,
I don't give it an A.
Another one.
No, I don't give it an
yeah.
A. I'm not, man, it's going to be another one.
He's
it's all about that character.
Right.
And okay. You know, he just got the hat and put it back and put yeah, it on. And looked at the kid and kind of smiled and said, like, you know.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think so, Shia.
See you later, motherfucker. I'll be 75 when the next one
yeah,
comes
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
And it'll be even more uninteresting.
So socialism and
final letter grade.
For
I give Indiana Jones 4.
If you have to go through like an A to an F?
D minus.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
There were a couple
D
things I liked
right.
in it, so I give it a D minus.
I would say my overall review would be a D.
Okay.
A D.
I'd give it a D too.
I was just so...
Remember D2?
I was so hopeful.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
it shattered my dreams so much
yeah,
that I have to
yeah.
go a minus.
Oh yeah, dude. D. Well, yeah.
I understand
where you're coming from, but D. Just D.
Hey, Luke. Just listening to this, not having seen this,
we didn't really get.
I forgot
the movie,
that
we
you were
to,
sitting there.
We have to
oh,
talk about all the
okay.
shit we didn't.
Here's
watch.
The plot.
You haven't said anything this
I'm
whole listening. Time.
We already talked about the plot.
No. You started. Okay, here's the plot. Right, Indiana Jones gets captured by some
communist
Russian Nazis. Right,
1957.
They
some years after the original.
They
ones,
drag him
right?
in a
19
car
years.
To Area 51. They pull him out and they say.
Find this alien body
you
for
got
us.
To help us find this alien body.
That's exactly how the, that's
exactly.
how Clay Kate Blanchett
yeah,
sounds
Clay
in
Blanchett.
The whole movie.
This
alien she sounds like
body.
Shit. She sounds
body.
Like shit the whole
and
movie.
So he does some magic stuff, right?
Aye.
Some gunpowder and some crap. And he leads him to it. And then they find this like tinfoil wrapped mummy alien body.
It's like a hot pocket or something.
It's
yeah,
a hot pocket.
It seriously looks
like they have no idea.
It's a meatball and
just picking
the
parts
hot
from
yeah.
other movies.
They basically just put a bunch of hot pockets
then,
into a fucking car.
He and his buddy escape, but it turns out his buddy
is an alien.
Double crossing. yeah.
yeah,
he's an alien. He's double crossing him.
He might
he's actually
well be.
He's getting some money from the commies,
double,
right?
Double
he's like,
cross.
I'm sorry, India,
oh,
I needed
shit.
Some money. And so
he's
these
British.
Tenants.
Yeah.
And he's got this awesome neckerchief.
He was, he was MI6. But yeah, he was.
So anyway.
Neckerchiefs are.
Then it skips
awesome.
To, in, you know, Indy runs away and they're chasing him. And he goes into this, like, he thinks it's a town, but it's actually the test town to blow up for a nuke.
Yeah, the most intricate test town ever.
Yeah, with
the TV. He goes into it, and he hears that they're announcing, hey, the nuke's gonna drop. If anyone's in here, which we hope there isn't, you better get out of here. And he jumps into a lead-lined refrigerator, which the bomb drops, right?
Because radiation can't.
And it blows.
Superman can't see through it.
It doesn't blow everything up.
It incinerates everything, but it blows his lead-lined refrigerator about, let's say, 5,000 miles away. And it lands and bounces.
Well, at 57, it'd probably be
an H-bomb.
And he falls out,
and he's like, whoa, I'm dizzy after this thing fell so far.
He dusts himself off.
And then he ends up fighting with some guy and some train thing, and
no, that part
off.
Happened before the nuke.
Whatever.
You got it wrong. And so, basically, it's not that great.
The rocket that he got shot off on.
Doesn't sound like long
story short. I mean, if you need to just rent on DVD if you really like Indiana.
Sounds like a bunch of.
And then the
guy
was like, oh, no!
Anyway, he goes back to his college and he's teaching some people. And then Jim Broadbent comes up and goes, hey, guess what? They're firing you. And he's like, you son of a bitch. He's like, hey, I quit. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry.
I defended you.
Yeah, I defended you. I quit. And they fired me too. And then, so he goes, he decides to do some bullshit and he gets on a train. And then
it is bullshit.
Suddenly, this dude pulls up on a motorcycle, which is Shia LaBeouf.
He's a greaser.
And he goes,
even Stevens.
He goes, hey, you remember Harry Locksley? And the audience goes, who the fuck is that? And Indiana goes, oh yeah, I remember that guy. And then they get off the train, they go to a diner.
He says that.
And then in the diner,
Marty McFly's in the back.
Yeah, it's a 50s diner.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there talking.
Really. No.
And he's like,
What is the last thing he was in?
Marty McFly,
probably,
Back to the Future.
Probably some kind of political action campaign.
Last thing I remember him in was
Spin City.
Charlie's Angels.
Spin City, yeah.
He was in Charlie's Angels?
Look him up.
What?
He was in Charlie's Angels.
Okay, are we done with Indiana Jones review?
No. You're just trying to get a reason to leave. Look at, there he is.
Hang on.
It's 12:20. What are you going to do tomorrow?
I got to shoot a movie tomorrow. Trailer.
He was not
what time?
Charlie's Angels. He was. Okay.
Yes, he was.
No, he was.
Maybe Full Throttle, the second one.
Show me where.
Show me the
Bill
actor.
Bellamy.
This is him.
Wait,
actor.
No.
Life with Mikey. For love.
What's his
Mikey?
Name? Michael J. Fox. That's not who I'm talking about.
Marty McFly.
I meant fucking.
Crispin Glover.
I meant his dad.
He was in Charlie's Angels 2.
He was in the first one.
No, yeah, he was in 2 also. That was more recent.
And he was in the what's it? That piece of shit movie.
He makes a whole bunch of art house movies.
What was the movie with the rats?
He's made art house movies after
the
rat
movie.
Rat King.
That wasn't the most recent
thing. It wasn't Rat King.
It was based on the Ninja Turtles character, Rat King.
It's Willard, right?
It was
Willard.
Yes.
He was in Willard, Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle. That was more often.
Well, that was a biopic about Willard Scott, right?
I said Willard.
Look at this. Let me touch it.
Touch his, then touch mine.
That was...
I touch mine.
Right. I said Willard before you.
That's the gayest thing since Gay came to Gay Town
so
over there.
Right,
I touched so much lip just now.
Yeah, touch a lot of stash.
Oh,
gosh.
Oh, you got some.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You got really drunk.
What the fuck
you doing?
It's been touching my nuts.
An incident at Loch Ness. You remember
that one? No, I don't.
What is it? He directed that.
He was in Like Mike?
What?
Yeah, he was the bad guy in Like Mike.
He played Willy Wonka in an epic movie.
Oh,
and he was Gwendolyn Beowulf.
Oh, dude, he's such a fucking celebrity.
Dude, he was the bad guy in Like Mike, remember?
No, I remember we saw it in the theater.
Yeah. You didn't saw that?
Yeah.
You didn't see that in the theater?
I didn't see that at
you
all.
You fucking missed
no,
that.
Hey,
dude. Did you see Sharkboy and Lavagirl?
Not
in the
not
ever,
dude?
No. What the fuck, dude?
No.
I remember that movie. That was so awesome.
Yes.
We had glasses.
We got a 3D glasses.
We got terrible migraines. It was
awesome. Dude, okay. I had those glasses for like over a year. I would wear them sometimes just to be 3D'd out.
You wore them in bed. Hey, remember when we were telling you about the plot of the movie?
Uh-huh.
So here's what happens next. So Shia LaBeouf goes like this. He goes, hey, you gotta
swing from
you gotta help me find this guy that nobody in the audience knows. And he's like, all right, let's do it. So they end up in some like ruins.
Peru.
In Peru. How do you know that?
Because I watched the movie.
I watched the movie. So here's what happens. So then here's what happens.
How far through are we?
We're about a third of the way.
Yeah, that's about right.
Almost half.
They jump around in the ruins, and then some like crazy like Indian people from Peru
aborigines
pop up, and they try to kill them, right?
That'd be Australia.
For no reason. And they're like shooting darts at them through these blow, like, poof, one of those things.
Blow darts.
And then, right as one guy's about to get Shia LaBeouf, he goes... And Indiana Jones pops up and blows it into the guy's mouth.
Which wouldn't even work.
But
it wouldn't work because it's backwards, right? The guy goes like this.
Well, it would work because the dart has the poison on it, and if the whole dart goes in his mouth, then he's still going to get the poison in his system.
You're such an apologist.
So, like, if it did get stuck...
It would work. The movie is totally realistic.
It's flawless because of that.
Actually, it would work because it would get stuck.
But by the way, I just want to, in case you ever actually need to know how to do this, Zach, you don't put the blowgun to your mouth and then inhale.
Well, they're aborigines. They don't know that.
No, they're not, because they're from Peru, not from Australia.
Well, here's the thing, though. He opened his mouth, and when Harrison Ford popped up, he went like this. The aborigine let him do that.
Yeah.
They let him.
He let him.
Yeah, it was dumb.
So then they go into the ruins, right?
You should have just shot him in the mouth right there.
He should have.
I wish I could shoot in your mouth.
I give the movie a C. That's awesome. My letter grade.
Okay.
Are we talking about Indiana Jones still?
Or, yeah.
What is, hold on. What is the rating system for this?
The rating system is A is very good.
B and is, F is flunk?
B is pretty good. Yeah, C is like mediocre.
I give most stuff a B.
D is bad. F is really bad.
Okay.
You go with C?
Didn't I rate it before I pissed? Yeah,
you
P.
You guys are both D.
You gave it a D.
I gave it a P.
You were D.
How bad it
was. You were D and he was D minus MC.
Okay.
D. I would give it a D. Maybe.
If I was being totally honest, I'd give it an F. But
no, if I was
just do that, why you not being honest?
You're not drunk at all. Listen,
I was going to be honest, I would give it a D plus at the best.
Should I give it? Just give it straight up D.
Okay, listen.
This is so enraged.
I stopped off where they went into the tomb and they found the crystal skull in the guy's coffin.
Right.
Tell him the rest because I'm going to piss.
Wait.
I'll do it. Okay.
He saw it most recently.
Then the Russians from the beginning. The Russians from the beginning have been tracking him the whole time. They find him. They find that they've got the skull. They bring him to the Amazon in Brazil. They're looking for. They're looking for this other temple where they're supposed to find all the rest of them. And then some adventure ensues. We find out that the kid is actually his son. Because,
the kid from Even Stevens. Did you see Transformers?
Yes.
It was the kid from Transformers. Yeah. That's.
He's the new flavor of the year or something like that.
He's an attractive man for a Jew.
He's the next Tom Cruise, though.
He's the top Jew of the world right now, probably. And that's pretty impressive.
What about the Mac
sounds
kid?
Like they're trying to grab gems from every movie and throw it together into one without any writing.
They find out that it's a bunch of these. They're not aliens because they're
interdimensional beings.
Which is still stupid because they're trying to cop out.
Which is the same thing.
They're little gray men, yeah.
They're aliens to humans.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever see, like, you know, AI or anything?
Yeah.
It's the same goddamn alien.
You know, sort of. And
it's not an alien, though.
They're supposed to be evolved.
They're not.
They're not human, but they're intelligent speech.
They're the same. Dude, they're the
everything
same fucking
explodes
species.
And burns and melts.
You couldn't
and
even
things fly
that.
Off. It gets kind of like an X-Files
episode. Because they're made of crystals.
Doesn't it look?
Then it ends.
It looks the same.
That's it.
That's it. Pretty
it's
much.
The same.
I mean, it's tough to do a short. It's got a lot of flaws in the writing, a lot of flaws
in
the structuring.
The ones in signs.
Any criticism of it being like unrealistic and ridiculous, like a sword fight between two people, it's
kind of
dumb because all those movies and shit like that.
Exactly the same.
And so that's no reason to dislike. Like it now, but whatever.
Bodies.
Sounds like they're just trying to.
Yeah, the story wasn't solid. And some of the things that
not at all. Incredible.
I mean, basically, you heard the argument that we were having.
I mean,
like the lack
AI
of a, the lack of an antagonist that had more to do with him.
They're so thin and they have the big heads.
Yeah,
you're about to smoke that backwards.
I have. Anytime, Rachel. I'll be here.